You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
After Annabelle Gurwitch was fired by Woody Allen, she began collecting termination stories, and now she's written and edited a book of them called Fired, Tales of the Canned, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed. It's published by Touchstone Books, an imprint of Simon & Schuster. Also joining me are two contributors to the book, Andy Borowitz, once a writer for the television show The Facts of Life, and now, among other things, the author of The Borowitz Report. And Tony Award-winning actress Tonya Pinkins, who was supposed to appear in the Broadway show Thoroughly Modern Millie. Instead, I'm sure she was happy for this to happen. She went on to star in Caroline or Change, and I'm very pleased to welcome all of them to my show. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Now, Annabelle, so many of these stories are from the entertainment industry. Is that because showbiz firings are pretty common?
I like to think of people in show business as experts in the field of rejection. It's just one rejection after another. And so I thought that people in other professions could learn from us and our mistakes and be inspired by people's stories.
But rejection is different than not getting the job. I mean, than getting fired. Actors pretty much go to an audition knowing that there's a good chance they won't get the job.
That's true. And then if you do get the job, it's, you know, when I say rejection, I mean also firing, being cut out of something. But of course, we don't always hear we're fired. What we often hear is the director went a different way. They're going in a different direction.
Now, away from you. That's the direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you don't hear anything. You just see someone else doing the part. And you never got a call.
That's what happened to Felicity Huffman. She's doing a play. They're in their off-Broadway tryouts out of town. She knows the show's coming to Broadway. And she opens up the New York Times and, oh, yes, the show's coming to Broadway, but she's not in it anymore.
So that's how she found out. Well, exactly. I had a friend who was in Janis Joplin's band, and I used to go to rehearsals. And Janis had a unique way of firing a musician. A trumpet player showed up for a rehearsal one day and found somebody else sitting in a seat.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's what happened to Bob Saget. Also, he was doing a morning show. It was Roland Smith, Marion Hartley, Bob Saget. They each had their chairs, Bob, Marion, Roland. One day he gets there, and Bob's chair is gone. There's no Bob. And that's when they thought they might say to him, you know, Bob, it's just not working out. But actually, that's a great story because, in fact, at the very same time he was fired from that show, he'd gotten an offer to do Full House, which he had to turn down because he was doing his other show. So if he hadn't gotten fired, he couldn't have done Full House, which really established his career, which, by the way, on Full House, he played the host of a morning talk show. So go figure. There's got to be some irony in
there. Well, so many of these
that's
stories.
A good way. That really breaks it to you gently, that just removing furniture. I think it's good.
Yes.
Well, so many of these stories end up with happy endings. Andy, how did you become a writer for the 80s TV show The Facts of Life?
Well, I was young and I was poor. And at the time, I was living in Los Angeles and I was so poor I didn't have a car. So I was taking a bus, which in Los Angeles is akin to eating out of a dumpster. I should just say that. It's just no one does that. And I thought The Facts of Life was the most ridiculous, saccharine, idiotic TV show. And I guess my contempt must have come through in my tremendously bad scripts that I wrote. But they didn't, it wasn't
really.
But you
said the producers saw the show as important stuff.
They did. It was, I mean, that was the shocking thing. Because, you know, we watch TV shows, especially things like bad sitcoms, and we just assume that they're produced by Hollywood hacks who don't care and they're just phoning it in. Quite the contrary. They were absolutely, this was a labor of love, and they were trying to keep the high standards of The Facts of Life up. And I was failing miserably.
They had an informal rating system, didn't they? How did that work?
Well, there was Charlotte Ray, who played the sort of den mother of the show, Mrs. Garrett, gave out Facts of Life mugs to the writers. And I guess the better you did, the more mugs you got. Now, you want to talk about an incentive. I mean, that was really an amazing thing.
Did you ever get
when did you learn that they were thinking of you as the cancer of the show?
Well, they did. It was almost from the beginning. I just was really out of place. I was trying to make the show funny and sort of wacky. I was just out of school. I was from the Harvard Lampoon, and I was trying to do, you know, funny stuff. And the show was really a morality tale. I mean, it was just very, it was, you know, it was like Ibsen, I would say. That was sort of how they regarded it.
Every show had to end with a lesson learned.
Right, a fact. They would say, I would write a script and they would say, well, Andy, what's the fact of your episode? Because it was, after all, the facts of life. I guess on Different Strokes, they would have said, what is the stroke of this show? I don't know. But it was just a very, I was just, you know, it was really not, they weren't wrong to let me go. They didn't actually, it wasn't a firing. Like, some of these stories in the book are great stories, like, you know, about Bob Saget's chair being missing. I just wasn't asked back. I was just, that's another way in show business it happens. When your contract is up, they weren't, you know, jumping over hurdles to get me for another season of The Facts of Life. But the one interesting thing I would say about The Facts of Life as a rite of passage was that throughout the year when I was struggling on the show, some people would take me aside who'd been involved in the show and say, you don't want to wind up like this guy, Paul, last year, who was a disaster and he got fired. And I was like thinking, oh man, this Paul, he must be a real loser. That guy turned out to be Paul Haggis, who wrote Million Dollar Baby last year and wrote and directed Crash.
Yeah, this year. He's gone on to do just fine, and that's a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact.
My guests are Andy Berowitz, Annabelle Gurwitch, and Tonya Pinkins, and we're talking about getting fired. There is a book called Fired: Tales of the Canned, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed, published by Touchstone Books, which is from Simon & Schuster. So, Tonya, what role had you been hired to play when Thoroughly Modern Millie was at the La Jolla Playhouse?
Well, I was hired to play the role that had been played by Carol Channing in the movie, and that was of Muzzy. And they had just decided they were going to make her black because that would just be politically correct somehow to suddenly have a black person in the play, and I was going to be barefoot and in fabulous gowns and with this set that covered the fabulous gown with a show-stopping number that just killed the show.
It basically stopped
it
the show.
It stopped the show. And I remember having these conversations with them saying, you know, we need to do this, we need to do this. And they were like, oh, yes, Tonya, that's fabulous. That's wonderful. And then when they moved on to Broadway and I knew it would be a hit, I got that call. Now, how much is that buyout? Where do you want that check to be sent to?
Well, you know, I love Tonya's story because actually you had the best interests of the show at heart. You were offering them suggestions how to make the show better. It just so happened that how to make the show better would be cutting you out of it and cutting the big number that wasn't working or cutting the lines that weren't working. So you really had the best interests of the show. It just meant that you end up firing yourself.
That's
but
true.
There were lots of problems with the set, weren't there?
Well, there were lots of
problems. And later, the show didn't get very good reviews.
But it won Best Musical of the Year that year.
Well, it was a bad year, wasn't it?
It won Best Musical of the Year without me.
you were the only person to get fired from that production.
Well, I guess I was the only actor. Well, no,
and
I actually wasn't.
True.
The lead actor got fired, too. Oh, Aaron Dilley got fired in the middle of the rehearsals at La Jolla. We had a lot of firings on that show.
You know, it just goes to show you it's such a common experience. But when it happens to you, you feel like all of a sudden it's like you're in a movie. The walls close in. You're the only person. And the only thing that really got me out of like being incredibly depressed after I got fired, after the requisite time of drinking, eating ice cream, bemoaning my fate, was actually hearing the stories of my friends. And that's why I started collecting them and performing them, putting them in this book. So I thought, oh, someone else who gets fired, you can just hand them this book. They won't have to go through the months of suffering that I had. Or you could buy the book, sort of like aspirin. You know you're going to get a headache, so you keep it in the house. Well, if you work in this country, you're going to get fired. So you keep the book around in case of a random firing, and then you pull it out.
Well, both you and Andy have wound up doing stuff on your own. The only way you can get fired when you work for yourself is if you have a split personality.
That's right. I haven't fired myself yet, Andy. Have you considered firing yourself?
I've got to tell you, lately I've been really disappointed with my work. I really have, and I want to have a long talk.
Well, you're not up to your usual standard.
I'm not.
But you wound up going to write for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which was a bigger hit, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I mean, it was, you know, that was, you know, 6 years after The Facts of Life, and I created that show. So, I mean, I guess something, you know, that's sort of one of the messages of the book, I guess, which is just that a lot of people get fired and it seems like their darkest hour and things will never be the same again, and then something good happens. Bob Saget,
absolutely
very instructive.
You know, I like to think about Tim Allen's story. Tim was having this fantastic career as a DJ, working his way through college, and he really loved this job at this little club, and he got fired when a new manager came in. He said, Tim, you're doing such a great job. you're great. People love you. I can't have you here. You're making me look bad. So he was actually fired for doing too good a job. But, you know, he loved this job. And he says, you know, I could have been doing that for the rest of my life. So I just think if he hadn't been fired as a DJ, he wouldn't be having the very nice career he's having now. He'd still be at a little club with a plexiglass dance floor playing Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, in your case, Tonya, many of the suggestions you made wound up in the show. You should have at least gotten a writing credit.
Absolutely. I told Janine that, in fact.
You know, I want to mention that not every story is a show business story. There are stories that I've collected in the book people send to me at NPR, people from every kind of profession, from being fired, from being an attorney, being someone working in Disneyland was fired, people working as a lifeguard at a pool. And I also have stories from people in show business from all the kinds of crappy jobs you do when you're starting out. D.L. Hughley, the comedian, was working at McDonald's, and he was fired for eating an Egg McMuffin when it wasn't his Egg McMuffin turn. He wasn't supposed to be eating that Egg McMuffin. Patty Heaton was fired as a crossing guard. I guess
you have Ronald McDonald being fired as a clown.
Yes. The creator of Freaks and Geeks once had a job as the Ronald McDonald clown of Toledo, Ohio. And he said every day was a torture. Children hated him. It was just a nightmare. They would throw things at him. They would scream and cry. And he finally begged them to fire him. He's, please, please fire me. So, you know, sometimes you want to be fired. Sometimes you're just in the wrong profession.
Well, in your case, Tonya, you wound up starring in Caroline or Change. Would you have been able to have done that if you hadn't been fired from Thoroughly Modern Millie?
I think it would have worked, but I think getting fired from Thoroughly Modern Millie made Caroline a better experience because Janine and I learned what wasn't going to work for us together as a team. So getting fired doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is over, because we did go on to have an even better relationship in our next show together.
You know, sometimes being fired can actually be good for the country. One of my favorite stories is Robert Reich, the former labor secretary in the Clinton administration. He was actually fired when he worked at the Solicitor General's office during the Reagan administration. He was asked to argue in front of the Supreme Court. They said, what we'd like you to do is get rid of the 1st, 4th, 7th, 8th, and 9th Amendments to the Constitution. And he just couldn't bring himself to do that, and he got fired. And I think, oh, thank goodness, we should all be so thankful he got fired from that job and went on to much greater things, and that we actually... I think we still have those amendments. What day is it today? I don't think
that you could argue, even with the current Supreme Court, you could argue the Bill of Rights out of the Constitution. But that's a whole other matter. We'll take a little break here. And when we come back, we also invite your calls. If you have, please try to make it a really good firing story. Everybody's been fired, so it has to be something really funny or weird, and perhaps if Robert Reich is listening, he can explain how he was asked to eliminate half of the Bill of Rights. My guests are Annabelle Gurwitch, who has written and edited a book of termination stories called Fired, Tales of the Can, Canceled, Dismissed, and Downsized and Dismissed, published by Touchstone Books, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster. She has also used these stories as part of an off-Broadway theater event, a series of stories on NPR. There's also a documentary called Fired that will have a sneak preview next week at the Aspen Comedy Festival. And we will also be talking with Tonya Pinkins and Andy Borowitz. So stay with us. We're talking about Fired, Tales of the Can, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed, a book written and edited by Annabelle Gurwitch with stories from a wide range of people: Tim Allen, Patricia Heaton, Felicity Huffman, Bill Mayer, Robert Reich, Bob Saget, Harry Shearer, Morgan Spurlock, Andy Borowitz, and Tonya Pinkins, and others. The book is published by Touchstone, which is a division of Simon & Schuster. And, you know, we never got to how you got fired, Annabelle. Woody Allen fired you, and in the piece, you don't reveal what movie you had been hired for.
It was actually a play, which when I tell people the story, they say, a play? You were fired from a play? You must have really sucked. And, you know, I actually think it is possible that I sucked. Sometimes you can be in the wrong job. What happened was, you know, I was hired to do this play. I was hired by Woody Allen, and I had always thought he was a comic genius, and after about a week, what he said to me was, what you're doing is terrible. Don't ever do that again, not even in another play. And at that point, I thought, things aren't going so well.
Now, did you have any inkling?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Sometimes, you know, you know you're just in the wrong job, whether you're acting or once I had a job passing out flyers on the street for Arby's in Wall Street, and I knew that was a bad job for me. I knew immediately the minute I said I'd pass out flyers, it wasn't going to work out. And yes, I did. Just actually, the part just didn't actually sound right coming from me. And you know, it was still crushing and devastating. I think that the reason why you get so upset after you get fired has to do with your expectations beforehand and then the reality of the job.
But what about the people who do the firing? In many of the stories, the bosses don't directly fire someone. They just let things slide. Do you think that's because it's hard for most people to actually say this is not working out or some other thing?
I think it's hard. And, you know, actually, for the book and for this documentary I made, I went and I actually went out to job fairs. I went to downsizers. I went to human resource people. I did a lot of research in the field. And people who do the firing always say it's really difficult. And yet, they still have a job. And so I actually think it is actually harder when you're the person who's actually being fired. One of my stories, which I really love, is Jason Kravitz, fired from The Practice. He gets a phone call on his cell phone, and as David Kelly is firing him, his cell phone goes dead. And he's not sure whether he should call him back so he can keep getting fired. You know? And he just, uh-oh.
Well, I understand a boss's risk of heart attack is set to double in the week after firing someone. But there's always someone in a company who enjoys or seems to enjoy firing people and often offers to do the job.
Oh my gosh. I didn't hear that. Even the human resources people that I talked to said it was hard, although one person
knew.
He said he had a little technique and he offered a little advice for this. He said he would always start his firings. Everyone has a little catchphrase. His was, as you know. So he would say, as you know, profits are down. As you know, the company is getting a little smaller. So by the time he said, as you know, they knew they're getting fired. So he said, if you hear the words, as you know, run. You're about to get fired.
There are all these nice ways of saying it. The British say he was made redundant.
Yes. My personal favorite is decruited. We
well, that's unrecruited?
And, yes. Now we're not firing you. We're just decruiting you or outplaced, as if you're going somewhere when you go out, but instead of home to drink.
Yeah, you're going to a bar.
Yeah, yes, you've been out.
You also have somebody saying dehired.
Dehired, down, what is that? Let's see, recalled, replaced, remaindered, cashiered. I really actually heard it hit all. And what it comes down to is you're fired. Now, when I was fired, I was told he was going in a different direction. And as Andy said, that meant away from me. I was told it had nothing to do with me, which meant it has everything to do with you.
Now, Tonya, you also work in soaps. So the way people sometimes learn they're being fired is they simply read a script and discover they're being killed.
Yeah, or they're going upstairs. You don't ever want to go into the bedroom or upstairs or into the kitchen. That's not a good thing.
You know, Tonya and I have known each other since we were 15.
Yes.
And one of our first jobs, we both had jobs on soaps right out of college. And I was on The Guiding Light for 3 years. And then I took a vacation to Europe. I never
Big
came
mistake.
Back.
Right.
And the thing is, they don't always tell you. So you get your script in the morning, and all of a sudden, I'm saying, now, I had no money on the show. I was living on someone's couch, and I was a secretary. And I say, my line says, I'm going on a vacation to Europe, which meant, you're fired. And
right.
I never came back ever. I'm still in Europe, as a matter of fact.
When I got fired from that soap, I went in and said, they said, you've had your last day.
You know, when Patricia Heaton was fired from a restaurant, what they said to her after 6 months of working there was, that's all we'll be needing from you.
That's but how long have you been, Tonya, how many years have you been on All
no
My
desserts?
Children?
On and off for, gosh, eight.
Well, okay. So that sounds like a good job. Andy, you were going to say something before we take calls.
I was just going to say, I didn't want to create bad blood here, but I was actually not fired by Woody Allen. I know.
Andy is hired again and again and again by Woody Allen.
But I think I have the secret, Annabelle, which is that when I did Melinda and Melinda, I only had one line. And really, even I couldn't screw that up.
You know what? So, I think I would have been fired if I had one line. I'm telling you, it just didn't work out.
It just didn't work for you and the Woodman.
No, not at all. And you know, the funny thing is, and I think this is very true of being fired, I'm sure if he was sitting in this room today, he wouldn't remember me. He wouldn't remember it happened at all. But for me, it was a big deal because, you know, he's Woody Allen. And I think whenever you're fired, you remember the words and where it happened and what they said. And the person who fired you was just one job, one person that didn't work out.
Well, I did have that friend whose job was to get fired. He got hired by to be presidents of companies that weren't doing well. And so he knew he was always going to be fired from every job he had. And it was just like, let's create the best severance package in every contract.
Wow.
So
wow.
He was like my solace.
Let's take some calls, okay? Our number is 212-433-9692. Robin from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopez Show.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was fired like 25 years ago from John Cassavetes.
You know, we'll be talking about John Cassavetes later in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you know, I wouldn't say that he liked necessarily to fire me. He was surprised, but I fainted. I wanted this job so badly. He told me that. Everything started spinning. I was on his back porch at his house, and I passed out. And he got very concerned, whereas when he was actually telling me my services wouldn't be needed anymore, he almost had this kind of smug look on his face. You know, he liked to do this to see how people, especially actors, as I was, responded.
He was a very interesting man. I'm surprised he wasn't filming it as he was following you.
He was with his eyes.
Oh, and after you fainted, did you get the job back, or were you still fired?
That's what the screener asked. Actually, interestingly, a couple weeks later, he called me and said that although I wouldn't be working for him, would I like to work as an assistant to his son, who was writing a screenplay, Nick Cassavetes, who's gone on, surprisingly to me, to direct movies, too.
It must
and
be
I
in
did
the
work
genes.
For his son, who was... I don't know if I should say this. He was very young at the time and kind of had a misogynistic view. I couldn't understand why he was writing all these abusive things about women, and I left working with him, which was probably stupid. I probably still could have been working with the family.
Well, people do fire the boss sometimes.
Yes, and maybe sometimes, you know, it's the right thing to be fired. Maybe you have to walk away from that circle. Maybe it's a message telling you something.
Thank you so much for calling us, Robin. Jessica from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on. Oh, first of all, this is the Leonard Lopez Show on WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. My guests are Annabelle Gurwitch, G-U-R-W-I-T-C-H, her book Fired, Tales of the Can, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed, features stories of being fired by lots of famous people and less famous people, including Andy Burowitz and Tonya Pinkins, who are also here. And now Jessica from Brooklyn. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Well.
I guess I'm one of the less famous people who's been fired.
Most of the people who have been fired are less famous.
You know what? I did some research, and the month that I was fired in New York, there were 161,000 other people fired. Now, I couldn't get all their stories in the book, but I tried, and not all of them were well-known.
And the worst part is that they were all on the same line at the unemployment office.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Well, I had about 10 years of retail experience under my belt, and I went to go work at a pretty shishi lingerie place, and they were a very hands-on kind of place. They were like, we want to show women how to wear bras. This is, you know, women don't know how to wear bras. You show them how. And literally, we're grabbing women's chests. So I grabbed a woman's chest, and she freaked out, and I was fired immediately.
I guess it was a little too hands-on.
It was a little too hands-on, yeah.
You got a reputation as being a groper from then on, right?
Not exactly, but I mean, the store itself had a reputation for being gropers, so I wasn't quite sure what I did wrong, but I guess I did something wrong.
Well, thank you for calling us, Jessica. Juliana from Manhattan, hi. You're on the Leonard Lopez Show.
Hello. My husband died. I worked as an art appraiser at home, And when he died, it was too isolating. I was in libraries or at home. So I took a part-time job for a small PR firm that put out a newsletter. And he was feeling the money crunch. So he fired the he offered her so much less money that she had to leave. And she was the office manager, but she was stupendous. She came in at 7:30. She made the coffee. She vacuumed. She did everything. So after 2 weeks, he realized there was no coffee and the office was getting dirty. So he called me on Fridays. He always worked at home in Greenwich, Connecticut, and he called me and he said, "Did you make coffee for the boys?" And the boys were three editors and himself. And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, anyone who doesn't obey the orders are fired." And I said, "Well, I guess I'm fired." So then I went in on Monday morning. It was only part-time. It was 9 to 1. And I went in on Monday morning, and I said, "I'm here to pick up my check." And he said, "Oh, well, you didn't like it here anyway." Because he got an automated phone system. So then he really didn't need me.
he could have gotten a coffee maker that made it just by pushing a button, too.
You know, it's funny because Harry Shearer, who you probably know is one of the voices on The Simpsons, and this is Spinal Tap, he said once he was fired and what the boss said was, "I envy you your freedom."
Yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes people say, "We're going to let you go," as if this is a good thing or you have a choice in it or
it's
you
like,
don't
fly
like
away,
it here.
Fly away, bluebird.
Yes.
I was at a party the other day where somebody who had been my boss many years ago, fired me many years ago, was in attendance. He listens to the show and is a big fan, he says. And I said, "Well, it wasn't a good thing that you fired me 25 years ago." And he said, "I never fired you." Isn't that convenient? Ted David, hi.
Hey, Lenny. You probably have the best radio program in New York.
Oh, how nice of you to say that.
Wanted to say that. Andy Borland.
From a professional.
Yes.
And Andy, good,
hi, Ted.
Good to hear you on here.
Thank you. You too.
I was a disc jockey here in New York City. We're talking about eons ago. And I had no idea that there was a problem. And I came into work one day and started to pull my cartridges, you know, the records, and pull my spots and tags and so on. And I was about to go into the booth, and I realized that the weekend guy was in there. I couldn't understand why some of the records I needed weren't available, and I realized he had them. And that's how I found out. So it was sort of like someone had related the chair was missing. There was somebody else there signed on to the log, and I was told bye-bye.
That's so funny you say that, because I can't tell you, there are so many stories in my book of people who are working as waiters, and they just get there, and their name's not on the shift anymore. Ooh. You just, no one ever says you're fired. You're just completely written out. You know, you'll actually like to read Harry Shearer's stories, because he says getting fired in radio is a way of life, and he tells a lot of great stories. Once, he actually heard the station manager fire him over the air. On the he's at home listening, and he hears he's just been fired. So it's a very common experience. But still, when it happens to you, you just can't believe it.
Ted, thanks for calling us.
Thank you, Lenny.
And we go now to Elisa. Is that your name?
Elias.
Elias
from Manhattan. Yes, I worked at a .com in Los Angeles, sort of. The internet bubble had already burst, and we were just sort of floating on the internet froth, I guess, and everyone knew what was coming. And we all knew we were going to be fired soon, and the whole game was to avoid the CFO. If you could avoid
the
CFO, you could make it another day. And we worked, it was an internet company, and our website had the component where people could sign up for their own email address, and we would create email addresses as the CFO's name, like full name or whatever, and email each other that we were fired as a little joke, and see the other person's reaction. But then the actual, you know, game was to avoid the actual CFO. And it was a Friday, and I had made it through the week, and, you know, I said to the guys, "All right, boys, I made it another week. See you next week." You know, I didn't get fired, and was out the door, walking to my car. I was halfway to the car when the CFO came running out of the building. and shouted my name and said, "Oh, yes, I need to speak to you." And I knew that that was it. The game was over. And sure enough, he took me in his office and fired me, and that was it for me.
Thank you so much for calling us.
No problem.
Now, we have a call from somebody whose name is Sharon Stone. Not the Sharon Stone. But you are the Sharon Stone, but not the Sharon Stone?
I am not the actor Sharon Stone.
Okay.
And at the time this happened, I was supporting myself as a massage therapist, and a well-known actor, whose initials are BW, was filming a film called Hudson Hawk in Italy.
Yeah, we don't know who that is. Okay.
No, we don't.
Oh, I got it. Uh-oh, I'm slow. I just got it.
Yeah.
And
a man famous for his interest in the upper part of a woman's body.
Well, he is now.
Well, he has. Really?
Is that really his thing? Yeah. Okay. Well,
didn't he convince a wife to have breast enlargement?
Really?
I've heard that. Is that the truth? I've heard
that's what I've heard. Anyway, so whoever this person is, so what did he do to you?
Well, I can't imagine who this person is, but I was his massage therapist for quite a while, and one day I was in his trailer giving him an ethical therapeutic massage, and he turned his arm around and twisted it in such a way, and he grabbed my chest, and I jumped back. I was really shocked, and I said, "What are you doing?"
Maybe he was trying to fit you for a bra.
And I jumped back, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Nothing." And I said, "Yeah, you are. You just grabbed me." And he said, "Sharon, you have to understand something. You have very beautiful breasts, and once in a while, I am going to bump up against them."
Gosh, that's really shocking. I think that's sort of like when Woody Allen said to me, "You seem retarded. You just don't know what to say." I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm sure you were too. I'm sure you have fantastic breasts, but it didn't mean he needed to touch them. And I thought, maybe I do seem a little retarded sometimes. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm not quite sure what to do with that remark, as I'm sure you weren't quite sure how to react.
Thank you so much.
Later that evening, the production assistant called me in my hotel and said, "You are released."
Released.
Thanks for calling, Sharon.
Bye-bye.
A listener wants to know whether you were fired from a dinner in a movie.
You know what? I was not fired from a dinner in a movie, but, you know, it is where you get into the slippery slope. I did that show for 6 or 7 years, and I did get a call one day. I was actually in the oncology ward at a hospital with a friend of mine who had cancer, and the producer left me 7 messages, and I pick up the phone. I said, "Hey, you trying to reach me?" He said, "Is this a bad time?" I said, I'm in the oncology ward. I'm not sure. What's up?" He said, "Well, we decided to go a different direction, and we're gonna get a new girl on the show. But you're really," and I think he was gonna say talented, but that's when I hung up. But you know what? I had a great run on that show, and I never looked back. And that really, it was not. I didn't perceive it as a firing. Of course, now I realize I was fired, but I didn't perceive it because it was time for me to go. No, I know I was canned.
Annabel Gurwitz is probably best known to television audiences for being co-host of Dinner and a Movie on TBS, also contributing writer and commentator on NPR's Day to Day. She has appeared on numerous shows and has done shows of her own, now has a new documentary out based on the same kind of information that's in this book called Fire, Tales of the Canned, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed, published by Touchstone, which is a division of Simon & Schuster. Andy Borowitz is a humorous TV commentator, one of the people I prefer to quote more than David Letterman when he has something witty to say about something that's going on in politics. He's the creator of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, appears on CNN's American Morning and NPR's Morning Edition, and writes for The New Yorker, The New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. His most recent book is The Borowitz Report. Tonya Pinkins, who was fired from Thoroughly Modern Millie, went on to create Caroline and Caroline or Change. She also appears regularly on All My Children and has been in lots of other things, Jelly's Last Jam, which she won a Tony for. She has a new book out called Get Over Yourself, How to Drop the Drama and Claim the Life You Deserve. That's from Hyperion. And I thank you all so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.
I hope you don't find yourself decruited anytime soon.
Every day, I assume I'm going to be fired.
I'm lucky that I lasted the entire interview. I thought the halfway point I was out of here.
We were going to go in a different direction. Absolutely. Halfway through.
If Donald Trump were doing it, you all would have been fired.